Who inhabit it, welcome back. Welcome in to another edition of Race and Refresher Happy Hour, episode 40. This one titled Jump in the Restart. A hearty Omaha to each and every one of you. And you know what? We figured we'd spent the last couple weeks Rocky Mountain Way, and we couldn't get much higher. So we thought we'd come on back and do another episode of Race and Refresh Happy Hour. And I don't do it alone, thank the Lord above. I do it with a cast of characters. Let's bring them in for the evening. The show creator, the Canadian extraordinaire, he just finished off another bottle of maple syrup. Let's bring him in. Canadian stat chat extraordinaire, Adam Carabine.
Hello. Right, good luck. Hello. Here I am. Yes. Hi. Okay. We're having some producer wars behind the scenes here. Yes. Good to be here. Good to be back after a couple weeks off and good to... I felt like, you know, we're jumping our own restart here, getting back into the swing of things with Happy Hour, Racing Refresh Happy Hour, not Kevin Harvick Happy Hour, but we're sending a cease and desist. I don't think it's going to work, but
if that works out, well, we're in good shape.
I think his lawyers are probably higher paid than ours are. So
I like to represent myself, but anywho, I don't just represent myself all the time. I have another representative for when things get bad, when tiffs happen. I have a mediator, and she's the greatest mediator I've ever known. She's got wonderful eyebrows. She loves NASCAR and all of you people. Let's bring her in for a quick hello. She's a little under the weather, but she's going to say hi. Producer Peggy, come on in here.
Hello, Producer Peggy.
Sorry, I looked at myself. And I look rough.
You look beautiful.
How are you feeling, Producer Peggy?
I'm feeling not great.
Well,
but I'm here.
I'm happy to see you. I'm sorry you're not feeling well.
Well, you know, she takes a chance living with me. This, you know, taking, you know, it's a tough life.
Yeah, I believe it.
It is a tough situation. But Peggy, any final thoughts before we let you go? We watched a great Richmond race. Matt and Marr, brother, we are back. We are back in the saddle again. We are back in black and blue. Because Adam and I got the black. You know, what are you wearing, bro? We sent it out in the email, the newsletter.
I'm wearing my Bucky shirt.
Oh yeah, they don't sponsor us. Matt, how you doing, brother? But. Peggy, any final words? What'd you think of Richmond? Anything?
Richmond was boring.
So it sent you to an Easter Sunday snooze?
Did I sleep during the race? Yeah, I did.
You'll have to get back to us, Peggy, and let us know.
Okay. He was here for dinner, folks. Let me tell you. After stage one, she was D-U-N done.
Uh-oh.
I didn't wake her back up till the overtime finish. But anywho, let's talk about it. And Matt, I'm glad you're doing well. We got to get you on the show here in a couple weeks and have you come and be a part of this whole thing.
Let's get you on.
So you keep your inbox open, and I will too, because as the young kids say, my boy, it goes down in the DM. that's what they say.
Is that what I don't know? I don't know what the young kids are saying. I'm out of the loop.
That's how I met Producer Peggy, Instagram, and it got wild one night. No, it's not true, but it was funny anyway. Peggy, we'll see you in a bit. We got to talk some racing.
Bye, Producer Peggy.
Thanks for pushing those buttons, and I'm always pushing yours.
Okay, there we go.
All right, that was not awkward at all. Anyway, it's time for our weekend review. Warner, you hit the daggum there button.
we both hit it at the same time.
All right, if she's here, she can produce, Adam.
Okay. Well, you
buckle in. All right. Your name is Adam Carabine. Her name is Producer Peggy.
Yes. There we go. Okay.
Chandler Smith got his second win for Joe Gibbs Racing in the Xfinity Series. I'm a big believer in Chandler Smith. I think he's got a bright future. The problem is there's a bit of a log jam in the Toyota funnel, if you will. What did you think of Chandler Smith getting the W? Adam, how much racing did you see? I know you were on vacation. So how much have you?
So the week before this one, I listened to the COTA Cup race on the radio, and I did not catch this Xfinity race, but I did watch the Cup race on Sunday. So congrats to Chandler Smith, but I did not. I only caught some highlights. So I don't know. I'll let you tell us about it.
Well, there wasn't much to miss. I mean, Chandler Smith, a great performance. The biggest story of the race is, honest to God, Joey Gate said, "I will take your helmet toss and I'll raise you a big ass piece of sheet metal called the bumper." I mean, he chucked that thing, boys. Have you seen the bumper throw, Adam?
I have seen the bumper throw. Yes.
I mean, what do you rate that out of 10?
It's pretty solid. I don't know a whole lot about Joey Gase. I mean, he's been around for a long time and he's been kind of a back marker, unfortunately. But yeah, hell of a throw. Hell of a, you know what? 10 out of 10 in form. I don't know if.
I like it. 10 out of 10 in form. Yes, sir. I like it. Matt Marr says he thinks Chandler Smith has a great future and could be a championship favorite this year. I think you might be on to something, Matt. It's really too soon to pick favorites if we're not playing a game of hot takes, because why would I on purposely allow myself to be wrong? But look, yeah, I think he's got a bright future. I think it's a logjam at Toyota. Martin Truex still hanging out. Denny Hamlin, Legacy Motor Club, the rest of Joe Gibbs Racing. Let's not forget 2311. Matt Marr gives the bumper throw a 9 out of 10. Boy, a tough grader is Matt Marr. From what I understand, he's a pick and chooser on Tinder. Tough grader.
He actually
reads the Tinder bios, I bet.
It's still an A. We'll take it.
Just go based on the pictures. I think all the young kids are into Bumble these days.
Is that what it is? I don't know.
I
don't know, man.
I don't know. But there's not a whole lot.
Isn't Visco? It's not a dating app.
Matt Marr says can't swipe on all of them. Well, but still, that's no reason not to try. Yes. That's no reason not to try. It's like the saying, you can't win them all. Why wouldn't you try?
Yeah. Speaking of the bumper throw, though, did you see the t-shirt they've come out with now?
Oh, yeah. I
pulled it up here for you.
And that's what Joey Gase should do. Just like Josh Williams last year, you should. If you have a kind of what we call nowadays a viral moment in our culture, why wouldn't you take advantage of that if he's an underfunded team and driver?
I was going to say, he could sell 10 shirts and double their budget. So
absolutely. Some of these teams, absolutely.
Seriously.
But can we talk about Bubba Pollard? Matt, we're going to let you drive the conversation. What would you like to say about Bubba Pollard?
Yeah, he was driving the 88 for Junior Motorsports.
Short track king, Bubba Pollard. we're going to have some interesting conversation about Junior Motorsports in just a bit, because there could be some charters going up for sale. Could be.
I'll save what I have to say for later.
But. All right. What do you want to say, Matt Marr, before we move on? What do you want to say about Bubba Pollard? He impressed. 37-6, you're right. It was exciting to see. Look, I'd like to, it is impressive, but I also don't want to make too much one start. Does that make sense?
Right.
You know, everybody was singing Haley Deegan's praises when she had the one great Xfinity Series start last year for AM Racing. And credit to her. I'm not taking anything away. But I don't want to, I know this show is based on overreactions, and Lord knows I do it enough in my personal life. But I don't want to overreact here. Turn over a new leaf.
Yeah.
Turning over a new leaf. Wouldn't want to vehemently say something that might not be verifiably true.
Well, yeah.
So what do you think? 37-6 to Mr. Carabine before we go on to the Cup race.
I mean, it's
the jump man.
It's the same as like SVG in the Cup series, right? He came He came in one start and won the Chicago street race in the rain. And was it impressive? Absolutely. Entirely impressive. You know, not anyone could just come in and do that. That wasn't a fluke. You know, same. I didn't see Bubba Pollard race, but going from 37th to 6th on a track like Richmond, no less, you know, requires a certain skill. So props to that. But whether that's sustainable over the course of, like, you know, is he going to get a contract? Is he going to get a full-time ride? And does that mean that he is destined for, you know, cup championships? I don't know. I don't know enough about the guy. I don't know enough. I didn't watch the race, but, you know, a lot of people are seeing SVG in the Xfinity series, and he's doing fine, I guess. You know, he's doing a serviceable job considering it's a new venture for him, but he's not winning every race based on the one cup series win, right?
Well, Matt Marsh is one start to one start, but he deserves this for a long time. I think you're right, Matt. It is, you know, we have to keep it in perspective. That is key, but it is impressive nonetheless, and we look forward to seeing what's next.
Well, and I appreciate that about Junior Motorsports too. Like, you know, same as Josh Berry. Josh Berry now has a cup ride because Junior Motorsports gave him a chance, you know, and saw some potential in him. And that is definitely a gift of Dale Jr.'s, is kind of scouting talent and finding it in places maybe where other people haven't seen it. There are plenty of Cup Series regulars who can thank Dale Jr. for the fact that they have Cup Series rides now. So, you know, if Dale Jr. sees something in him, I'd be willing to give him a shot, but I don't know if it's sustainable long-term.
Yeah. So for all, you know, Gregson haters out there, keep in mind that Dale Jr. sees something in him.
It's true.
Matt says, Daddy will be full-time. Carson will be full-time before Pollard. They bounce that car around, but it's great to see all these opportunities coming. But we might be seeing some other opportunities coming for JRM. Stay tuned for that, Matt. We're going to talk about it. But first, let's talk about the Cup Series race. You know, it was pretty ho-hum for a while. Pretty ho-hum, just kind of, you know.
Just as an MTJ fan, I was loving it. I thought, this is great.
No one stinks up a show quite like Martin Truex Jr. when he's leading. It's just, for some reason, it tends to go that way. He's never won. I mean, maybe he has, but he's not known for winning the thrillers. All right, he is known for being like the king in 67. It's like, are you going to lap everybody? So Martin Truex has his best run of the season, but it was not to be, as we got to about turn three with about two to go, and they were coming towards the white and caution. And then we had overtime. Matt says the cup race felt like the Richmond of old. Well, I felt old watching it. It was, that is not a good Easter Sunday special, mate. Nothing against Richmond. I know it's part of the heritage of NASCAR. It's part of the roots of NASCAR. But you need a little bit more thrill if you're going to eat a big dinner and then watch NASCAR race.
Well, yeah. So for me on the West Coast, it wasn't too bad because I was having dinner later. Like, the race started at 4 my time. So I was all right, but I don't know. It's hard for me to remove my fandom sometimes from Martin Truex Jr. And when I see him leading, everything's more exciting when he's in the lead, because
I mean, you talk about fandom. Look, I got nothing against anything to do with fandom. That's like nothing against any of that.
Yeah.
That was nice how I just had it there, right there on the spot.
Yeah, just ready to go.
Yeah. Look, it's a whole conglomerate over here. But it stayed pretty ho-hum until the overtime. And then things got hairy. I mean, hairy and the Hendersons. Obviously, let's get into it right now. There was the last restart that originally NASCAR said Denny Hamlin didn't jump. Jordan Bianchi of The Athletic even tweeted. They checked. They said he was good. But then Elton Sawyer of NASCAR comes out on Monday morning and says, Adam,
yeah,
that if it was another time in the race, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially if it was another time in the race, they would have called him for jumping the start because he definitely rolled early. What? Wait, what?
I know. Yeah.
Aren't the rules at their most important at the end of the race? I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
What are we talking? If you cannot apply the rules at the most pivotal point in the race, then what are we doing?
It's true.
What are we doing?
Like,
it's such a bad look for the sport.
I don't follow football probably as closely as you do, but is that on a thing in football? Like, any touchdown is just automatically a reviewable play, right? Like
every single one. If there is
they check every single one.
Period.
Yeah. And like, I understand that, you know, NASCAR doesn't have those same, you know, they don't score necessarily unless you count like stage ends. But I mean, this is the most important part of the race. You got to get it right.
It is absolutely, in my opinion, nothing short of a horrible look, disgraceful for the sport. Because, look, it is an unwritten rule in sports that certain guys, certain moments, they get more calls than others. Tom Brady, they were a little bit more lenient with. It's well known. In baseball, a veteran hitter will get better calls than a rookie. But those are unwritten rules, and nobody has the gall to come out and say that's the way it is. You have to watch the sport for an extended period of time to kind of see that that is observable.
It's the same in hockey. Like, the rule book is traditionally seen as being put in the ref's pocket a little bit more throughout the playoffs because they want to just let the teams play and not have the refs be part of the, you know, the final story. And yet that sometimes makes it part of the story.
And I totally respect that. I totally respect to let them play, let the boys have at it, let them decide. I totally get it. But you, Elton Sawyer, cannot go on XM Radio Channel 90 and admit that they blew it. It is better to be thought of as an idiot and stay quiet than open your mouth and confirm it. Because we could have a lovely debate now on if he did or did not jump the restart. We could have talked about it. And you know what I just said? I just said NASCAR checked it and said it was fine because that's what they said Sunday night. Turns out, that's a fib. That's a lie. That's anything else you want to call it. That is being very facetious on their part at best.
Yeah. They have the capability to check these things. They have the data. They've got access to the SMT data. They should be able to literally see where he put his foot on the gas pedal and where he was on the track at that moment.
Now, Elton Sawyer did say part of the issue for them was they believe they didn't have the amount of time necessary to dig and, you know, again, I'm paraphrasing here, but to dig and to look into and everything they need to look into. It's late in the race. We, you know, that whole thing. I absolutely cannot stand the inconsistency of this sport when it comes to officiating. We talk all the time as a sport how we want to get past the old school Southern culture where it was kind of anarchy and you could do what you want and all those sort of things. And they're not knocking that part of the sport. They're just trying to move beyond that era. People always go, well, they're forgetting their history. Not necessarily. We're just trying to usher in a new era. But then they go and do something like this that, I mean, if for some reason someone was flipping through the channels Sunday night and doesn't usually watch NASCAR, wasn't interested in the March Madness NCAA tournament games, and then you hear the next day that, oh, turns out he jumped the start, that hurts the credibility of this sport to casual, to non-fans, to diehard fans like us, to media members, like to everybody. How can you defend the integrity of the sport when a high-up official of the sport has come out the next day? And I had credit for saying, credit for saying and being honest, you guys screwed the pooch, I suppose. But if you're not going to do anything about it, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
Oh, I stole your $1,000. Spent that on Krispy Kremes and Crinkos. What? Great, you stole my $1,000. Do I get my $1,000 back? No, but I took it.
Right.
What difference does that make?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I
was going to let Matt chime in here too. He just says the devil's advocate point is looking at how MTJ fell back to fourth If Hamlin didn't jump the restart, would it have still made a difference in MTJ's performance? I'm not even necessarily coming at this from that perspective. Yes, I am a fan of the 19, but he didn't have the greatest restart. He could have done better, I think. And I don't know if that's what caused MTJ to suffer the way he did. I just think it's a blown call. It's a blown call in a pivotal moment, the most pivotal moment of the entire race. And you can't let that happen. And then you can't come out after and then say, oh yeah, we actually blew it.
And the issue is not even that it's a blown call. I'd like you to elaborate on that, AJ. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure what AJ told us, but
he said a lot over the years. He said a lot.
At the end of the day,
the real issue is, according to AJ, that we have the data. We should trust the official to make live decisions. Post-event review is a non-traditional. Yeah. Look, I get what you're saying. Because let me point this out, Adam. Here's the kicker. I don't think they blew the call. I don't think they blew the call at all. I think they know they were making the wrong call and went with it because they didn't want to do it at that time because it would have created a controversy.
Really?
It's not like they went home and reviewed. They saw it. He said if it had been happening any other lap, we'd have probably called it. I think they chose to let it go because of the time, because they didn't want the officials to be the story. But then Elton Sawyer, I respect you, sir, but it is the most boneheaded move of you. It's like when Dale Jr. said, yeah, I spun out on purposely on radio. If you're going to spin out on purposely, you don't go on a radio show and admit that.
Right.
I don't think they blew the call. People blow calls all the time. There's a human element to this game, to any
there
game.
Is. There any is. Sport. I mean, even.
I think they said, we can't do that. It's too close. And we can't. I can't be the reason someone wins that on wins the race. They did it intentionally, on purposely. Absolutely.
It's funny too, because like
they kicked the shit out of it, to use a baseball quote.
There was a weak kind of caution call earlier in the race. I don't know if you remember when Kyle Busch kind of lightly tapped the wall. It was just in the midst of pit cycles going through, and it kind of threw things in a weird direction as well. And I remember thinking like, yeah, that was a bit of a weak caution and maybe we shouldn't have called that as a caution, but you know, that is the human element and there are mistakes sometimes. And sure. I'm all for that. I'm okay with human error coming down to certain calls, but I think when you have the data available, the data, if you will, you can't mess up a call like this one. This is
And put it under review, because you're talking about, yeah, you're talking, especially, you know, again, it's not lap 300. It's lap 400. We're coming home. And so
it's lap 407,
review, actually. You know, put it under review and let's see. I mean, I know that might be weird for people to say, well, let's re-rack him. But now we have a guy that won the race on merits that he should not have, at least in that moment, won the race.
Right.
You know, re-rack them something. The integrity of that finish is forever marred.
So I do want to be devil's advocate for a second here, just for Elton Sawyer's sake, and say I think it's tough. He's in a tough spot after all this happens, because there's clear evidence that Denny jumped the restart. This is not refutable. I mean, the video evidence, I'm not even talking about data, that, you know, not everyone has access to that, but you can just watch videos of it. It's clear. But the situation that Elton Sawyer is in is that they didn't call it. Denny ended up winning the race because of it. And if he doesn't address that, then every future overtime start, whoever is the control car is going to try and jump it. And then they have a case to say, you know what? Denny did it. Why am I getting penalized now? Right. So I think he had to address it in a way. I don't know if I love how he did it on Sirius XM radio and said, oh, you know, if it had been a different point in the race, then we might've called it. I think that's a mistake, but I think he had to say something that was like, listen, you can't expect to get away with this every time, you know?
And I hear your point, but here's the kicker of it. Is they're officiating, which they're not trying to be the story. I respect that. That's well known in all sports. The kicker is that 5 playoff points might make the difference between Denny Hamlin making one more round in the playoffs and not. We don't know what the future of this season holds beginning in Martinsville. We have not a clue. We can We can put up our crystal ball, our Race and Refresh Happy Hour prediction, you know, palooza, but that doesn't mean we know. And so they may have inadvertently just affected the entire season. We have no idea how this is going to go down. Freddie says all he can say is Martinsville will be a good weekend of racing. Martin Truex Jr. will be driving like a madman. And he was driving like a madman.
Yeah.
Driving like a pissed off teenager, to quote the Talladega Nights classic.
I don't think I've ever seen him that mad in a car. And it was funny because when they went to him for his post-race interview, he was fine. He was all smiles and everything was okay. But yeah, it was, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No, he had a pretty notable tantrum, especially by his standards, because he's a pretty calm, cool, collected cat. I mean, I know his radio gets a little rough for those with gentle ears. But other than that, he's a very well-known kind of gentle, you know, whatever, I'm going to race you clean. Hopefully you race me clean, and if not, because personally, I think Martin Truex Jr., and I've said this many times, he'd have more wins if he had the killer instinct.
Yeah.
But that's not his style. Matt Marsh says, if anything gets done in terms of restart rules, probably done for next year. Why change and force the rule next weekend when they wouldn't enforce it this past weekend? Well, again, it becomes the age-old question, right? Where's the line?
Yeah,
you didn't do it once, but you knew you should have. So did we just let you keep taking money out of my piggy bank?
They might make a change. They might make an amendment to the rule book and do something so that this doesn't happen again. And actually, that wouldn't be entirely unprecedented for NASCAR to make a change halfway through the season. And I applaud that when they do it. You know, I think it was
this time last year they were messing with the restart zone.
Yeah.
Making it wider, doing all sorts of different things.
I'm all for trying things. And, you know, there are so many different permutations of the rules where something can happen that you don't expect it. And look at your face as I said permutations.
That's
look at
a, this. That's a big word right there.
No, there are so many.
I'd ring a bell. That's a ding ding.
There are so many permutations, if you will. There are so many different options of what could happen that it's impossible to write a perfect rule book that accounts for all the unknowns that could happen. And so as things happen that are perhaps unforeseen, then yeah, you have to sometimes amend the rules, and I'm all for that. But I think that actually would be a good look after kind of a not so great PR week for NASCAR.
And I understand Matt's argument about, well, you ain't gonna call it this year, this time, why call it? Because again, then, because all of these guys, I don't care who it is, I don't care what team, you start giving that inch, they're going to take that mile. That's why the Hell Melon's banned, right? Because then every time Martinsville hits, we're going to see, well, it worked for Ross.
Exactly.
I got nothing to lose.
And well, that's the thing. There was no rule in the rule book because no one had ever thought to do it before.
Crazy as a fox.
There you go. Away, especially away, one of several possible variations in which a set or number of things can be ordered or arranged. Forget it. It's fine.
Well, that's all right. That's our word. That's our word of the week. Permutation. So we'd like you to all record videos and send them to Race and Refresh, Adam Carabine at raceandrefresh.com. And we will make a compilation next week of your sentences. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But all right, let's talk more about the MTJ temper tantrum. Very out of character behavior for him.
So it's funny. It is, but it isn't. I know there's talk about how, like, when he's on his radio, sometimes it can be pretty testy between him and crew chief James Small. I don't necessarily see an issue with that. I do listen to his radio often just because I am a fan. I see it more as a competitive, you know, passion sort of thing. They get competitive, they get passionate with each other, and sometimes that means that they don't agree on things, and that's okay. And that, you know, I don't ever get the sense that there's like trouble in paradise between the two of them. I just think that they are, you know, I'm laughing because Matt Meyer says he would like to hear Logan in a spelling bee competition.
Man, I'm a C+ man, which makes me smarter than half of them. That's the best I can do for you, brother. X-Men spotted half of them.
Sure. Yeah. Anyways, I think that is how Martin Truex is on the track. I think he's a competitive guy, and I think he's a serious competitive guy. And when it comes time to the interview after the race, he usually takes a minute, collects himself, and he's a little more calm and collected. And I think what we saw with him ramming into the back of Denny after the win, and even kind of getting involved with Larson there at the end, I think that's just his competitive frustration. And honestly, I mean, I'd be frustrated too. He led the most laps out of anyone, and you know, it was his race to lose, and kind of a late caution screwed him over there basically. So I get it. I would be upset as well. Do I condone the ramming into your own teammate and all that? Maybe not, but I don't know. I don't see that as completely out of character, other than I guess the inside voice came out a little bit more than it usually does. So
look, sometimes in the heat of the moment, things happen. You get a little carried away. Maybe you don't handle things the best way you should have. Maybe you accidentally insult some people. Who knows? Montana. M on the take guy. Yeah, absolutely. Montana, capital M on the take, Montana. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Those are...
In anxiety moments, my ass would go, that's Montana right there. You know, just get all cranked up, just complete, you know.
Very good. I'm actually a pretty good speller, I think. I don't know. We could have a Racing Refresh spelling
bee. I'm not a very good speller, but thank God for Grammarly. There's a free shout out.
And actually, yeah, Matt Maher, easy there, buddy. I'm the one that edits your 30-second reads there. So we want to talk spelling.
I'm not a fantastic speller.
It's all
good. I'm fantastic at Grammarly, and that's about it right there. Right click and do the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's it. Anywho, we can talk about my intelligence or lack thereof any other time. But yes, I do love the M on the tango, little Montana. Ain't never been there, but I love it anyway.
It's beautiful.
It's highly
recommend it.
Hey, I look forward. Maybe you and I ought to get together and
meet up in Montana. We'll go camping Montana. In the mountains.
yeah, I'll probably follow all the damn thing. All right, there was a late caution between Bubba and Kyle Larson. Of course, that's not their first. That's not their first rodeo. It's not their first county fair.
Yeah, did you see the interaction between the two of them afterwards?
Like, I did. Bubba was very apologetic, and frankly, Kyle seemed to come off like he thought Bubba was overreacting with how apologetic he was.
Right. I mean, I know Kyle said it too. Like, it worked out well for Kyle Larson. He wound up finishing, was it third? I think, after all that, somehow.
Wheelman, folks.
Yeah, seriously. But, I don't know. I was expecting worse based on the history between these two, but I was impressed with both of them and just how they kind of handled it, and was like, that doesn't have to be an issue. Let's move on from it. And, you know, absolutely. does it make for better ratings? Maybe not, but you know, I appreciate that they're not too angry at each other.
No, so. I thought it showed personal growth on both men's part, especially Bubba. I mean, he came right up, a man, and was like, my bad, my fault, whatever's coming, I get it. And you know, karma is a real mother in this sport. And so I applaud both of them. Look, I'm not upset above about what happened there. Hard racing incidents going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. I mean, you're driving these things. You're threading the needle. And if you think you're not going to make mistakes, well, get in there and try it your damn self. Now, I mean, we all love to talk about, you know, drama and sipping on the tea, as the young kids say. But the reality is, sometimes hard racing is just going to happen. It's especially short track, you're going to bump into each other. I mean, we're going to have more bumps than bumper cars at Martinsville. Matt Marsh said Larson even admitted he gotten loose off exit and checked up into Bubba.
Yeah.
I mean, look, stuff happens. You're racing 38 weeks out of the year, 36 as far as points go. You're going to screw up. And people are going to aggravate you, and it's just going to happen. I thought both men behaved gentlemanly.
And well, and you know, also
could take note.
also speaking from my Martin Truex fandom again, because I'm apparently doing that all day today. There are certain times when a caution could come out and ruin your race, like it kind of did for Martin Truex. But this was not one where I was like frustrated. Like, this didn't feel like it was a boneheaded move between, like, you know, maybe some other drivers who lack a little talent, perhaps. I felt like, you know, this was a racing deal, as they say. And while unfortunate for the outcome for Martin Truex Jr., I wasn't like, oh, you know, these idiots back there, just let the race play out. This was some hard racing that just happened to result in a spin. And
yeah, you're fighting for every spot out there. Every point matters. And you might say, well, it's only April. We got nothing but time. Well, as the Steve Miller man once said, time keep on ticking, ticking into the future. And so every point counts, and you need to fight. You need to fight with everything you got to get every point. And that's what you're paid to do.
Yep.
I don't care if you're 24th and 25th. You want to get 24th if you can. That you are paid for every point, every spot. It all matters, and it all should matter.
It makes a difference. It makes a difference in the final, you know, amount of purse that they take in too, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It all matters. It all matters for points at the end of the regular season. And even if you don't make the playoffs, it matters for points at the end of the season when it comes to the overall understanding and things of that nature.
And so the more money that you get from that, the better you might have as a chance next year, you know, yeah, the absolutely. More money you can put into the program. So
every position matters. And so I want Bubba Wallace and Kyle Larson and whoever else to fight like the Dickens
yep.
to get every single point spot. And if I ever feel like you're laying back and not doing all you can, you've cheated your team and the paying customer and yourself. So,
agreed.
Absolutely. As long as you behave gentlemanly after, I got no issue with that. All right. Speaking of gentlemen, Austin Dillon, he is going through it right now. Every position does matter, indeed. Well, you know, it's what I do in my off.
Who is this troll who's just commenting on ours?
It's what I like. I'm. I love you. I love him to death. Oh goodness. Anywho, let's talk Austin Dillon. He's getting a new crew chief, but it's an old crew chief, Justin Alexander.
You're jumping right ahead here. I see. Where are we jumping right into our happy hour headlines here?
Logan? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm
yeah.
Sorry. I got all thrown off because, well, there's been a lovely book apparently written by me. All right.
There it is. Yeah. Should we hit our happy hour headline? I'll let you throw to it. So,
well, it's, you know, hey, that's all right. I'm having fun. Do you want to talk any about the wet weather tires? I think they're overblown. Like, everybody acts like it was some major success. I don't think it was a success or a negative. I think it was just there.
I mean, the one thing that I can point to is just that they were able to start the race when they did instead of having to wait a little longer. And that's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't think that. I don't love the competition caution where everyone gets to come down and put slicks on. I saw, I think it was Jeff Gluck tweeted, like, you know, please let the teams decide when they're ready for that. I think that would make it a little more interesting where everyone starts on slicks and on wet weather tires. And when and if you're ready to switch to slicks, that should be a team strategy call. And I kind of think that would make it a little more interesting. But I mean, anytime that you're getting to race on time, I'm good with that. So
yeah, look, yeah, no great. One, no one is. And by the way, no one loves competition cautions more than AJ. He is a huge fan of the competition caution. I'm telling you, he loves it. Question for the folks in the chat. I'm not going to address it personally. I'm curious about your take, ladies and gentlemen. Should NASCAR race on Easter going forward? There's been a lot of hubbub about whether NASCAR should or not. It's kind of tradition not to until recent seasons. Although that tradition isn't quite as steeped as some might think, there's a fine reel on Racing Refresh social media. Let you know about that. But yeah, do you believe that, Colin, hope you're doing well as you fly back from Japan into the homeland?
There he is. Yeah.
And so, but do you believe NASCAR should race on Easter going forward? Let us know in the comments why or why not. So with that, I will go ahead and do some throwing. And throwing up the PG variety, it's time for our happy hour headlines.
Here we go.
Neon.
Poor producer Peggy's been sitting there waiting.
Yeah. with bated breath with a clicker just ready.
Yeah.
There was some kind of rough news out about Greg Golding. Let us know about it, Adam.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of info known at the moment, but Greg Golding, he was kind of a part-timer. I think, I'm not sure if he ever did a full-time season in Xfinity, but he's been one of those kind of journeyman racers. Anyways, he's been arrested for domestic violence. We're still waiting to hear kind of more details on that. And obviously, you know, as with any of these, it's, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but I imagine that NASCAR will probably, I mean, he hasn't really been racing a lot lately. I don't know, but he may have some sort of suspension at least in place until more details come out of that. So yeah, just felt like it was worth mentioning.
Of course, Cody Ware, unfortunately,
yeah,
didn't have the charges dropped. So let's make that clear. You never know until let's let Miss Jurisprudence play out, as they say.
Oh, actually, you know what? Even I can give you an update, a live update right now. Misdemeanor domestic violence charges, and NASCAR has issued an indefinite suspension to Greg Golding, kind of pending review, I guess.
Probably so, as the legal process plays out, as they did with Ware, I would assume.
Yeah.
North Wilkesboro, a more fun topic. Did you see the big video of what appeared to be the Moonshine Cave?
The Moonshine Cave. I know. I don't. This might be a week old, but we weren't on the air last week, so I wanted to bring it up. This is just wild to me. First of all, it's wild that this has been there for that long and no one noticed it. And second of all, like, they've got an all-star race to host not that far away, and suddenly some of the grandstands are caving in and the Moonshine Cave is making an appearance. Like, first of all, they need to open a bar just outside the grandstands and call it the Moonshine Cave now. Right. Like, I mean, this stuff writes itself. You have to do this, but
you can't tell me that some of the old schoolers didn't know it's around. You tell me Richard Childress and Richard Petty doesn't have any idea that wasn't there.
They must track
100 times.
Yeah. There you go, Matt. Yeah, the Moonshine Cave should be a special attraction, a museum exhibit type for fans to see. I agree. It's just a little bit poorly placed in that it's like directly under the grandstands, and I think it has ruined some of the seating there. So they're going to need to fix that before the All-Star race. But
I mean, frankly, you could pack a little cot and take a little nap in there. It looked a fair. As soon as you get in there, it's kind of fairly roomy. I mean, and I'm not a very tall guy, so I should be all right.
Maybe they should do Easter racing at North Wilkesboro so that you can go have a nap after your turkey dinner in the Moonshine Cave.
But they need to, if they're going to continue Easter racing, and Chris Myers reports that he doesn't believe they will, but if they're going to continue Easter racing, it does need to be a more prevalent track. I think we're going back to Bristol, the concrete would be good, or North Wilkesboro, something that draws people in, because while North Wilkesboro or Richmond, it's part of the folklore of NASCAR, we don't think about it as an iconic track.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that change. But yeah, it was interesting to see that big Moonshine Cave. They need to get that figured out, because the All-Star race still a ways, but it does quickly approach.
Yeah, May 19th is the All-Star race. These things take time to.
You got to get to moving.
Yeah,
you got to get on top of.
But also, you want to like not ruin it. You want to preserve some of this cool history in there, right? So I don't know. Yeah, they got a job ahead of them for sure.
Glad I don't work for NASCAR in this rare case, because that'd be a tough deal.
That's a tough one.
All right, new crew chief Austin Dillon, the topic I was so excited to talk about. Justin Alexander, who's really an old crew chief, coming on back. His current crew chief is going to get put in the organization in another role, I think, yet to be determined. They keep trying with Austin Dillon, but at what point do we go, maybe Austin, maybe this just ain't working out?
I know, right? It's tough because, you know, old Gramps is pulling the strings up there, but
Ty's wondering why he didn't get any of them.
Yeah, I guess, but it's a tough one. I was trying to pull up the tweet here. I can't find it now. Did you see the tweet of like what Austin Dillon was saying about his crew chief at Richmond, like why this move came?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Austin Dillon apparently on the radio was really upset with his crew chief and was yelling at him and saying that he thought the strategy call was BS and all this stuff. Like it seemed quite heated on the radio.
So he went to Pop and said, look, homeboy got to go.
Seriously. Well, within the next, you know, within the week, the old crew chief is out and now you got Justin Alexander. But this is, you know, this is an important moment for Austin Dillon here.
Think you're running out of chances.
Yeah.
I agree.
If, you know, if he turns it around and starts running a lot better with Justin Alexander, then great. You can blame it on bad crew chief and go from there. But if you continue running in the 20s, like he has been, Pops, he's making me look worse than I actually am.
Colin Bester contributing to this show, even talk about Mile High member, boys. Matt Martin,
I wish I could find the tweet.
Matt Martin makes a good point. It's not like Justin Alexander and Austin Dillon haven't worked together before, he says. It's almost like they go through a rotation of same crew chiefs in that organization. Yeah, I don't know why. I'm sure there's a lot of crew chiefs out there looking for a job. Maybe try somebody new, or at least that has been away for a while. Even you could, you know, meet me in the middle on that. So I don't know. At some point, we got to go. Hey, Austin. Not saying you don't deserve a cup ride, but maybe you don't deserve that cup ride anymore.
I know.
I don't know. Anywho.
I don't, that's like, you know, is it worth possibly, you know, throwing some real wrenches into the family dynamics there, right?
Well, you know, I mean, at some point, look, your family's family, and I get that, but I mean, it's a success-driven business.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of it, you know. Kyle Petty left Petty Enterprises. Richard Childress and Austin Dillon could part ways. It's not unheard of for family members to not. Ty Dillon doesn't quite get that same love.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, I found it. Here's Austin Dillon on the radio says, we have dumbass strategy every effing week. We're indecisive. We don't know what to do. And at that point, Richard Childress came in on the radio and said, settle down, drive the car, and focus here. It ain't doing no good talking. Just focus.
Yes, RC, very, very intertwined.
And people say Martin Truex Jr. and James Small get into it on the radio. James Small is still around. They're friends. They just get into it. But, man.
It happens. Sometimes you fight with your friends. But, no, we'll see. I hope Austin Dillon improves with this move. I do. It'd be good to see that three car have some better performances. I mean, there's nothing there. It's one of the two most historic numbers on the track. I mean, take your pick of the 3 to 43. I mean, it's iconic. It's better for the sport when they do well. All right.
You teased this earlier, Logan. I'm going to let you have your moment here.
There was a big tweet from Adam Stern. We sure like him with the Sports Business Journal.
Great name.
The first name's okay. It's a little common. But the big rumor is that SHR might be looking to downsize and sell a charter or two. Look, we don't know that this is true. They declined to comment. The rumors are the Legacy Motor Club 2311 and JRM and RFK are some of the teams that are track house as well, are some of the teams that we know are looking to expand. So, wait, I don't want to pretend that I know for a fact this is true, but if it is true, I told you so. And, you know, I hate to be one to tell people so. I really do.
I know you hate it.
Really do. Look, the reality is Tony Stewart has got his fingers in a lot of different pots. He's out here. He's focused on drag racing and starting a family. He doesn't like NASCAR as it is, as it currently stands.
Well, I don't know if NASCAR really likes him either.
Well, they're certainly not best of pals. They seem to exchange everything but Christmas cards lately. Mm-hmm. Look, I think for competitive sake, if I'm being as fair and honest as I can be, it would be good to downsize and sell a charter too. That way the charters you remain get more funding, more attention, all those sort of things. We see some potential with Josh Berry, and Noah Gregson has been a real stunner. I mean, he's taken a lot of jokes given his performance at his half a season at Legacy and his social media behavior, and he's just kind of a goofy guy anyway. But all kidding aside, I think he's outperformed expectations, and Josh Berry has shown some promise. But I don't know. Chase Briscoe, Ryan Preece, You know, that ain't it, boys and girls.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it.
Where Matt Moore asked, where does Trackhouse have the money? They just acquired a MotoGP team and are racing there this season. Well, there's a man named Pitbull that has a lot
Mr. Worldwide.
Of Mr. Worldwide, you know. There's a man named Pitbull who's still, I don't know what his current title is, but I know he's heavily involved with the organization when needed.
You know, Justin Marks is no slouch either. He's got some, he comes from money.
I'm sure they, you know, so between the two of them, I think they could probably, I can tell you one thing. I don't want Legacy Motor Club to expand. Let's get the cars we have to be successful first.
I was just taking a quick peek at the standings again. Yeah. Chase Briscoe is the leading Stewart Haas driver and he is currently 18th in points. So outside the playoff picture, I know that two of those cars got those penalties. There you go.
That's what he's going to say to Stewart Haas. Give me all of them, four of them right here. Give me everything.
Yeah. Justin Marks also part owns the Cars Tour. He's involved with like GoPro, I believe. I think he,
And he also fields an entry regularly in the Trans Am series for track.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, he's just everywhere. No, Justin Marks again, Pitbull. I think they can find the money. They're a different breed of cat.
Pitbull put out an album called Trackhouse. Like he's invested.
I mean, and he was at Daytona and he held court with the media. That was a fun. I watched that media session. That was a fun one. I didn't know. I'll tell you what, if you're not inspired after watching Pitbull talk for about a half hour, check your engine, give it a little gas, boys and girls. They mentioned Stern's tweet mentioned 2311. I think they are probably the favorites. If this rumor is true about SHR looking to downsize, and that's a big if, I think they're the favorites to acquire Charters. We know they're getting they've just opened up a brand new building or about to open up a brand new building. We know they're moving fast. I think that 2311 is looking to expand quickly. Yeah. I mean,
Denny wants to drive for them, doesn't he? So
he didn't say he wants to, but he's finally open to the possibility after blowing it out for the longest time. So look, folks, I told you the truth of it is this.
I'm not ready to crown you, Mr. Wright, but, might be Mr. Right now.
We'll say, gotta get you through. They call me a stepping stone. And so I'm not wishing failure upon SHR, but you can just read the tea leaves of where Tony Stewart's focus is. And you can read the tea leaves on his discouragement with where they are as an organization.
Yep.
You can.
Well, and also you teased earlier too, like, does this mean Dale Jr. comes in here? JR Motorsports, Junior Motorsports, however you want to call it, JRM comes into the Cup Series, possibly. Yeah.
You know, again, 2311, I think, would be the favorite to get a charter or two or whatever Stewart Haas would be willing to sell if they are. Again, I want to keep putting that sentence out there.
Yep.
Dale Jr. is frugal. And I know people say, well, he just bought such and such for this on eBay. Yeah, $700 to a millionaire ain't quite.
Yeah.
But a couple million bucks to a millionaire is a lot. They don't look at money like you and I look at money. And Dale Jr., admittedly, if you listen to his podcast and several interviews, he admits he's frugal. He admits he probably could have already gotten a charter, but a couple of different things, competitiveness, the prices keep going higher.
Well, the prices go up, and I don't know if any of these teams are really making that money back yet. You know, I think he wants to see it become a profitable enterprise before he gets in there, and fair enough.
Yeah, because we're not there yet. No one is making a profit. And I don't know everyone's books, so let me be clear on that. But Jeff Gordon was the first guest on the Dale Jr. Download this season, and he said Hendrick hasn't made a profit in 5 to 10 years. If they're not making a profit, nobody is. If he's telling the truth, nobody's making a profit.
Well, and then throw on top of that, like, Junior Motorsports is not having an amazing season right now as it is. Like, in the Xfinity Series, they're not making probably all that winning dough that they were having over the last couple of years. Like, it's not going as well there this year, at least not yet. So
My guess is if those charters come up, 2311 and Trackhouse are the first in line for them. That's who dukes it out. Legacy's not ready for that. If they think they are, they're fools. Frankly, I'm just being honest.
It would be a mistake. It'd be a mistake.
It's not time yet. They've already had a ton of change. You need to settle into what you got for a while. I agree, Colin. I'm not sure any much for an American makes product.
Someone is. Someone's making money from it. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. But
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
NASCAR as a business and Fox, maybe, and NBC. That's about it.
All right. We should move on here, Logan. We got a couple things to touch on here before we wrap things up.
All right. It's time for our weekend preview. There we go. Bingo. Back in the Lightning McQueen trailers, I call it. Matt Marr's got a comment here. Is this the best opportunity for JRM to expand into Cup? I mean, he has a driver in Sam Meyer who could be mostly Cup ready and ready for the jump. They have fantastic partners who would continue it. I wouldn't be surprised, and again, this is hypothetically, but I think you would see a surprise driver jump in for JRM.
Bubba Pollard.
I'm thinking more Alex Bowman, maybe. Maybe Noah Gregson. Maybe Josh Berry. Maybe one of them come with the Chargers. We know Alex Bowman's in an odd spot with HMS. I think a lot could happen there, but we got to move on. All right. It's a nice trio of racing for NASCAR this weekend. Trucks, Xfinity Cup, all at Martinsville. So get your hot dogs out there. The Martinsville hot dogs are world famous. They are to be consumed and loved. So get your hot dogs.
I got to get that on my bucket list. You know, I got to try one of these Martinsville hot dogs, see if they're all they're cracked up to be.
The NHRA is in Arizona and F1. So Colin, maybe you should take the plane the other direction.
I know. He mistimed his honeymoon.
I'll tell you what.
He should have been there for the Formula One race, but
Matt Marr bringing the stat chat, over 5,500 hot dogs complete a lap at the paperclip.
Hey, I think Logan could do that in one sitting.
I could give it a go. I could probably knock back about one sitting, given the size of the dogs. I don't know, 10 to 12.
Whew.
I could probably
bun and everything. I don't know about buns. They weigh you down.
They do. It's you got to be real selective about how you handle your buns.
That's right.
All right. speaking of selections, let's play a little game we like to call Racing Refresh Picks.
Let's do it.
All right, Adam.
All right. So we were off for a couple weeks.
Joey Chestnut. Every year I wake up on the 4th of July and start my day.
He really does.
Every single year.
So good. Anyways, we didn't make picks while we were off. I partially dropped the ball. So apologies there. I was busy. I was on vacation and I was sick while I was on vacation as well. So what can you do? But recapping our winner from Bristol, which is our last time we picked, Producer Peggy took home the win. Well done, Producer Peggy. So our score, we have a three-way tie for the lead. Colin, myself, and Producer Peggy all have 13. Logan bringing up the rear with 11. But you know what? It's pretty close. It's early days. We're okay.
You got what you wanted here, Adam. You read the game so it's more competitive.
Yeah, that's right. It's just like NASCAR does. You know, we want the parity.
It's a very competitive game thus far, but I'll let you take it from here.
Okay, so Colin got to pick first. We did reach out to him. He is, or at least he was at the start of show on a flight, but we did find out he's picking Martin Truex Jr. to start off. A great pick, if I may say so myself. I get next pick. And I am going to go with Ryan Blaney. That is my pick this week. Next up, Logan, who you got?
Well, Martinsville, paperclip, short track, lots of things to consider and think about here. Why not old Watermelon Man?
All right. Ross Chastain. And then our winner gets to go last. Producer Peggy, who you picking this week?
I'm going to take William Byron.
Be Big Bill in the big hat.
There we go. Well, stay tuned. Next week, we'll let you know who's the winner and see who broke this three-way tie for the lead.
All right, let's hope I'm in the lead. That's all I know. One can dream. Anywho, it's time to close it down because every great episode must come to an end. And to do that, we got to bring it home to closing time. Matt Marsh says Brad K is his pick. That'd be a cool story. I'd like to see Brad get back in victory lane or have just another good run. He was pretty solid.
We'd love to see him there.
Absolutely. I'll have a hot dog and a Hawaiian roll. Let's get it done.
Hot dog on a Hawaiian roll. There you go.
I had a couple of them buttered Hawaiian rolls this past weekend. I was getting after it.
Really?
Yeah, no question about it. Anywho, it's closing time, so it's time for final words. We can talk more about rolls in just a second if you'd like to. Adam Carabine, let's start with you this go around.
Good to be back on the air. Thanks for tuning back in, guys. And sorry we missed you for a couple weeks there. We were under the weather, and then I was on vacation and also under the weather. So happy to be back. Happy to keep this show going. And good to see both of you, the power couple here, producer Peggy and Mr. Logan as well. I haven't seen you guys in a little while. So good to catch up with you guys. And check out the website. Come check out what we got going on. RacingRefresh.com.
Absolutely. Fresh hot con every single week.
That's right.
Fresh hot con. Producer Peggy, final words. Take us home, Country Roads.
Well, I started this week thinking I had appendicitis, and then I didn't have appendicitis.
That's a win.
Well, it's only Wednesday, too. So,
I might have appendicitis tomorrow.
Who knows? Yeah.
Remember that time you thought you had Parkinson's? Anywho, any final words? Anything else?
I think that was the final
word. That was the final words, but okay.
Okay. All right. Well, nothing about Ryan Blaney. That's all. All right. Sorry, I'm just always waiting on that as my cue. So with that, it's been another great show. We thank you, Matt, for tuning in. Freddie, Colin, AJ, the founder, everybody. Glad you're all here. We love each and every one of you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Let's enjoy a great weekend of racing in Martinsville. Have a hot dog, have a Hawaiian roll, whatever have you. And we'll see you right back here next week. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.